Okay, where were we? We've been talking about Esther since the dawn of the Dark Ages, and it has been a cool study because we've looked at the heart of Christ and the invitation of God to be in the body of Christ, as to be the bride of Christ, right? The love relationship that he wants to invite us into. We've also gotten to see how all the challenges that Esther faced didn't define who she was, and it didn't hold her back from questioning the love of her husband in this story, right? It was just, she understood that she was born for such a time as this. She was born to actually engage the thing that was trying to destroy her and her people, right? Are you with me? Or are you thinking about other things? Okay, cool. We talked about how this person named Haman, he was the enemy of the Jews. He wanted to dispose of the entire Jewish race. Sounds like this has happened several times in their past, right? And Haman had a legal decree by the king on March 7th next year, he would assassinate every Jewish person in that area, right? And he had the invested interest of all the people that if anyone that they killed, they could take that person's property. Sounds like a deal, right? Are you smiling? Is it funny? Okay. You got a joke? A good one? No, it's cool. If you got a good one, I want to hear it. So on March 7th, Esther had also engaged this other date. Okay. Sorry, I'm tripping over my words here. But as part of that date was that she had the legal authority to allow any of the Jewish people under attack to attack their attacker. Okay. And so we have two opposing forces living together in the same area, ready to go to battle on March 7th. It's a date. Sounds like fun. All right. So on March 7th, the enemy of the Jews attacked, hoping to overpower them. And if we could go to our first vile verse in Esther 9, I'm just going to quickly review it. They attacked and hoped to overpower them, but quite the opposite happened. And this is what I love about the God that we served. We serve a God who often pulls off the opposite of what is intended, right? We were objects of wrath, and now we are objects of his affection, because quite the opposite happened because of Jesus, right? We deserved punishment. We deserved death, but quite the opposite happened. That's not what we got, right? We were not a people with any access to the Father. By even our own lineage, most of us were not Jewish by birth. Therefore, we didn't even have access to him, and yet quite the opposite happened. He made us his people. He adopted us, right? He grafted us into his family, right? And I could go on all day long with quite the opposite happened, all because of Jesus. He just flipped our life, our destiny. He's given us everything we have, right? Amen. Amen. I love that about him. And I'm going to talk about this thing here, this fight that happened, right? And I don't want to get lost once again in the details of the fight, and I don't want to talk about necessarily the brutality and just start thinking of warfare. I really want to just see how God took things that were meant for harm and flipped them, okay? Because that's who he is. It's his nature to be that way. And if we were going to look for one word to define what that process looks like, we would call that word favor. We are favored of the Lord. Okay. Now, unfortunately, if you've had some bad training, you might see God's favor as getting you a really close parking spot. He can do that, but, right, we can all nod and say, that's awesome, I love it when he does it. Unfortunately, it can also do the rubber band effect and snap you, and you're like, oh, this just makes me want to puke. I want nothing to do with the favor of God because it seems so selfish. The church seems like they only want the benefits of God, like, right? And so we turn off the favor of God because we don't want to go down selfish lane, right? And I applaud you if that's you. Cool. At the same time, if God wants to give you something simple, who am I to get in the way? Like, that's awesome. Be blessed. Be highly favored, right? I'm just trying to talk to everybody in the room because we're in a non-denominational church, which means everybody has a different kind of background, right? And you may have come from a church where you're like whipping yourself and you didn't deserve anything, right? And then you might have grew up in a church where maybe they told you you're entitled to everything. God just wants to just make it all about you, right? And then somewhere in the middle is everybody else, right? Why do we care about the favor of God? This is where it starts to become important. Not yet. Why do we care about the favor of God? I want to take us, if I can, to Psalm 67. And I'll let you have your speech, okay? But I want to take us to Psalm 67, verse 1 and 2, and then also to the next one, which would be Psalms 31. But you're familiar with this prayer, I'm sure, if you've been to any churchy gathering, wedding, right? Anything, you've probably heard this. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and some versions say keep us and make his face to shine upon us, right? Right? And then Selah, that means pause, stop, and think about it. And then you have to take verse 2 with verse number 1, because without it, it's God, I want you to be good and bless me and just be always turned in my direction for my benefit, period, right? Yes, stop and think about it, but keep moving, that your way may be known on the earth, your saving power among the nations. There are people watching that will not get God's business card, but they will understand who he is by watching the way he treats his kids. And that's why it's important. It adds a whole new dimension to why do I want God's favor in my life? Because people's destinies depend on it, not because I want the thing that I want. Right? So then that can even paint the way you pray for things. As you're asking for his favor, it's not just God, send me the thing I'm asking for, but God, I need you to send it and bless people through it and show your nature through my life, through the things that I'm asking for. Correct the things that I'm asking for that you don't want me to have. Readjust maybe those things to where I'm asking for what you want. And then God, shine through me. Let my blessings become blessings to other people. Like you guys were talking about when you prayed over your house when you first bought it. It's like, use our house to bless people, right? And that becomes just a way of life, almost like breathing. You breathe in, you breathe out. God, bless me, but use it, right? Give, but Lord, let me be generous, right? Breathe in, breathe out. That's who he is, right? And then let's look at Psalms 31, verse 19, real quick. How great is the goodness you have stored up for those who fear you? Can you picture this? There's like a storehouse in heaven where God is like, he's storing this stuff up for special delivery day. Like, you know, on Amazon, when you can choose that delivery where all your packages come on the same day? Nobody selects that. They're just like, give it to me 2 days. Just send it. I don't care. 10 boxes. I don't care. Right? Instant, right? This is the other thing. God's like, no. We're going to save some cardboard and we're going to store this thing up and I'm going to give it all to you. And look at this word. You lavish it, your goodness. You lavish goodness. We don't even use that word in our English language anymore, really, right? Anybody use lavish in the last couple weeks? All right. Do you want to understand what it means? It's huge, right? It's extravagant. It's like out there. It's like blow your socks off kind of expression of goodness. He wants to do that. He wants to lavish that on us to those who come to you for protection, blessing you, blessing them before. What's those three words? Blessing them before the watching world. Those again, you're starting to see the theme that where two or three scriptures here are starting to agree with themselves. That the world is watching and what they're looking for is the goodness of God. And if there's no proof of the goodness of God, and if Christians are miserable all the time, not that we're not challenged, right? I mean, we always got stuff coming at us, just like them. Everybody's got stuff coming at them. But if we have the goodness of God lavished upon us, bringing us through these things, we're coming to him for protection against those items, and the Lord is blessing us in front of the world, they understand, they see, and they say, aha, I get it. You're my word picture. Right? You become the business card of God, if I can keep that, by depending on his faithfulness, his goodness stored up for you and then distributed to you on Prime Day. How do you like that?
It's a good word.
Well, let's keep going then. You hide them in the shelter of your presence. And that's funny, too, because there's nothing about, when you really think about this, like, being in someone's presence doesn't hide you, right? right? Not a trick question. If I'm like standing right here next to you, right? You're in my presence, but you're still here. Everybody can see you, yeah. Right? And so what he's saying is there's a presence, there's a shelter in me that comes with the knowledge of knowing that I am here and you know you're covered, right? You're not sheltered from the enemy. You're sheltered from knowing that he can't own you. He can't have his way in your life. Do you understand? Why? Because you're favored. Why? Because the world needs to understand that the very presence of God is the difference between life and death. So he has to be faithful to that. Now you're like, but I can think of a time and a time and a time. Well, forget your times, because we always skew our stories in favor of whatever point we're trying to make, right? If you don't agree with that, well then go to Facebook and just see if you can prove me wrong, right? We always skew our stories in the direction of our opinions, right? And so when you're sad, you're going to skew your story in the direction of, oh, God wasn't good. Yes, he was. There are times in my most horrible stories of life where he left his fingerprints right in the middle of that stuff. And man, I wish I didn't have to go through it. But having gone through it and looking back at the goodness that he distributed along the way, like little breadcrumbs in the story of like Hansel and Gretel when they're trying to get out of the woods and they didn't know. And he was just goodness, 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 favor for you, right? That shouldn't have happened. That did happen. Holy cow, thank you, right? Right? I'd rather not be in the woods right now. Well, here's another breadcrumb. Goodness, goodness, right? And he hides us in the shelter of his presence, safe from those who conspire against them. Ooh. You shelter them in your presence, far from accusing tongues. Who is known as the accuser of the brethren? Satan, right? And so what I'm seeing is a direct tie here that the enemy wants to have his way, speaking accusations into people's lives and watching their very nature, their very self-identity form according to the accusations of whatever was thrown at them, right? Parents have a really heavy role in defining their children. And sometimes parents just throw accusations like they should not into their children's life. And now the kid's struggling as an adult to get free of the identity that was born within them, right? Right? That's just one example. There's a lot of other examples. You find that over time, if people continue to identify you in a certain way or gaslight you in a certain way, you begin to question your own identity, right? You're like, maybe I am. Maybe I am. And he's just trying to say, hey, listen, I'm going to shelter you in my presence far from those accusing tongues. Why don't you run into me instead of running away from me and saying, God, why? And how could you allow this? And blah, puke, right? Let me show favor in the broken place. While the tongue is still accusing, let me show favor and remind you of my identity in you. You're my son. You're my daughter. Let the tongues, you know, the accusations fly, and my goodness will hold you in that storm and anchor you to the point where you understand who you are in me, right? But I'd rather you just destroy the accuser. Well, he's got his day. It's coming. It's called Judgment Day, right? And I'm going to love that day, but that day's not today. And so today is I'm going to hide myself in his presence until there's nothing left of me. And it's just all about him, what he has, and right? Identity and goodness and favor. And it's all for the sake of the world seeing and understanding and knowing the ways of God, because without it, they'd be just lost, right? Cool. Did we make a good point? Oh, good. I'm done. No, just kidding. Last week, we read Isaiah 58, verses 11 and 12, where the scripture said, the Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be a well-watered garden like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities. Then you will be known as a rebuilder of walls and restorer of dry homes. You know, and the question is, God, why do you have me in this dry time? And he's like, hey, maybe I want to use you in the dry time to rebuild that dry city over there. Can I speak in terms of examples here, right? There are broken, damaged, dry places, and you find yourself in that, then just start asking yourself, God, why do you have me here, and where can I bring the water supply? Where can I be the river of life, right? Where can I be the one who brings that life into this area so that other people can benefit? And then you've now become a conduit of the goodness of God outward, right? Amen. Right. Yeah, we have a fun phrase at work. You guys know I work a job. Most of you do. And one of the things I say when awesome stuff happens, I'm like, no charge for bringing in the big guy. Because now they know, like, I believe that God made that happen. Like, he was good to us as a business. Like, and I even pray that, Lord, bless our business and let them see how good you are, right? Because I want them to see the goodness of God, not just by, like, tuning into some YouTube channel and watching us here, right? That's not where rubber meets the road. We're going to encourage all of us here today, fill your canteen so that you could go out and then be a waterer out in the world. That's where it really matters, right? Yeah, and I think the world needs a bunch of people running around saying, no charge for bringing in the big guy. He loves you and he loves me, and he did that for me. So I'm a conduit of his goodness, right? Broken, flawed, sometimes stupid. Sometimes I say bad jokes. All those things, right? But yet he still is kind and he loves the people around him, and he's just, right? Amen. Do you understand, like, the way we wake up in the morning saying, God, I need your blessing. I need you to expand my territory. I need you to make me more of a blessing so that more people can be affected for you. It's like an evangelistic blessing plan, if you know what I mean. And it takes all the selfishness out of keeping up with the Joneses, because the Joneses aren't thinking about the next person, right? So you're redefining blessing, right? That's okay. Can you use that? Thanks.
So Andrew and I have a really good friend that when he talks about God's favor, he says it's not for show, it's for flow. Amen. And it just, like, helps us to kind of think about, like, the blessings, tangible or not, that we have in our lives and how we can use that favor to flow through to other people. So it's not about what you have, but rather what you do with it.
Right, right. Awesome. Yeah, and sometimes what we discount what we have, right? We think, like, you know, if I had more money, I would do. No, you wouldn't, actually. If you're not doing it now, that just shows your heart's not there, right? So don't blame things you don't have. Just start doing with what you have, and that'll show you the true nature of your heart. That's right. You okay?
I was just worried about it. That's a good point.
Oh. Okay, good. Whew.
I tried to start a clap earlier. Nobody's.
No, it's okay. Did you want to get to that thing you were jumping up and down to say, or is it?
All I was going to say was your bucket's got to be full if you're going to share.
That's right. Amen. Perfect timing.
And if your bucket's full, but you don't pour anything out, it gets scummy.
That's right. And then you just got to kick the bucket.
Just to share what happened to us, we were in Walmart, and I mean, I'm always saying hi to somebody. I said hi to this older gentleman, mm-hmm. and I think it was the third word that came out of this guy's mouth was like, what did he say? He said, oh, I know the Lord, mm-hmm. or something referencing the Lord, and I was like, wow. So, I mean, we briefly talked, but I was like, I need to be more like that. And, you know, this guy was so open, so quick.
Yeah.
And he even was like, you know, we need more people sharing Jesus. It's just like a real encouragement.
Yeah.
Seeing this guy doing it, you know, right off the cuff.
That is awesome. Amen. That's the way it should be.
It was awesome.
That was the last thing he told us to do.
Yeah. That's right. Amen. Amen. Okay. Could we go back to the Esther 9 verse really quickly? The Esther 9 verse that was at the very beginning-ish. There we go. Okay, here we go. I want to look at verse number 3. The nobles of the provinces, the nobles of the bad guys, can I say it that way? The highest officers, the governors, the royal officials helped the Jews for fear of Mordecai. That was Esther's uncle. Next slide. For Mordecai had been promoted in the king's palace. Remember, these people are exiles and slaves, and he's been promoted now. And his fame spread throughout all the provinces as he became more and more powerful. So if you noticed, all the rulers of the enemy started joining the Jews, right, their enemy, because they feared Mordecai, who had been promoted for that time by the Lord, right? Like the Lord promoted him knowing this was coming and set that up so that the enemy leadership would actually defect out of fear, right? Okay, my whole point is, and here's another word, I've watched this thing get so abused in the church, and we're still going to talk about it. It's fun, because, I mean, it actually makes me uncomfortable a little bit, and that's a good thing, like, you know what I mean? But promotion, are you familiar with that term? How long have you been in the church, and how long have you seen promotion either taught well or in an abusive way, or a selfish, greedy sort of way? Am I the only person? Weird. I will. All right. I have watched people do dances and run around the building in excitement about the word promotion. God is going to promote. God is going to promote. And everybody was all about the gimme, gimme, gimme stuff. And as long as God has given it out, they're given worship. Right? And then when the promotion stops, it's like the worship stops. The lifestyle worship, okay? And that's not you guys. But that's why we're online, so that all the people out there can hear this message and be changed, right? But I have to stop and say, Psalms 75, 6 through 7 cannot be torn out of the scriptures because it still belongs there, right? Promotion comes neither from the east or the west or from the south, right? He names them all. God is the judge. He puts down one and he sets up another, right? And why did he list all the different directions, the north, the south, and east? Because sometimes we're all so busy looking for God's next promotion in our life, we're looking everywhere but right at him. Right? Especially New England. We're really good at hustling. Right? No? New Englanders work hard. I've watched it. I've lived in the South too, so I know the difference. You guys work hard and you work fast. And God is trying to say, promotion is mine, right? And I will hand that out. In this story, in the Mordecai story, he was brought. It put in that spot just for the purpose of allowing the leadership of the enemy to join forces and begin to help those that they should have been attacking. Make sense? Same thing with Esther, her promotion to queen. Same thing for such a time as this, right? Think about Daniel. He was just an exile, just like the rest of them. And he's promoted a chief of the Magi, right? For such a time as he was in. Matter of fact, he was training Magi 500 years before the ones that came to Jesus, so that when the star appears, they said, "Where is this king? We're here to worship him." How did they know? David prepped them. Daniel prepped them 500 years before. Like, he was put in a spot to affect the coming of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, right? Think about it. What about Joseph? He was thrown into a prison, and he interprets dreams, right? And he was promoted three times, right? Once in Potiphar's house, he goes from slave to managing the house of the captain of the guard over Egypt, right? No, then he's thrown in jail. Now he becomes, as a prisoner, he becomes the leader over the prison. And then he gets free, and then he becomes second in command over the entire nation of Egypt, right? And each one of those times were for very specific purposes, where each promotion brought blessing into the life of everybody around him. He became a conduit. So the promotion was not just a blessing, like a give me something. It was give me position. Put me in a position where I can make a greater impact. Right? So there's that positional cry of your heart. And if there's a part of you that's crying for that and you're like, God, send that. Don't let the accuser talk you out of it. Just make sure your heart is lined up to back the thing that you're asking for, right? That is good, right? Mary, you know, when Mary found out that she would become pregnant with Jesus, she broke out into this song, and it's Luke chapter 1, verse 49. She said, "The mighty one is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. She's thinking back to her mom and her grandma, and you know. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He scattered the proud and the haughty ones, and he's brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. And once I start looking at princes from their thrones, what do we start thinking about? Rulers in high places, principalities, wickedness, darkness, right? The demonic realm. It plugs and plays really nicely into he has brought down those princes from their thrones and he has exalted the humble. God has just done a promotion exchange where he tore down a system of wickedness that was ruling into in a specific area and raised or promoted believers who could now affect change. Right? It's important. It's important that we cry out for these things. It's kind of an interesting message. I don't normally like preach about, hey, let's start praying for blessing. But remember last week when I told you we as a church family are positioned to be ridiculous in our expression of love for this community, right? I told you, like, the resources, the things that God has given us, the talents, the everything, we are well positioned for that. And all we have to do is, like, just as things fly at us, we just have to say, God, is this you or not? And then go. I mean, we don't really have to struggle with, well, I got these 10 things and I think we can only do 2. God is so good to us right now that we are like, just do all 10 unless he says no, right? Right? Now, that doesn't mean the same people do the same thing. Like, everybody's got ideas, right? So throw them in a bowl. And it's oftentimes I'll get 100 ideas thrown at me, and it's like, well, Daryl, just make them happen. We're the idea people, right? And that's not the world we live in. But, man, as believers are coming forward saying, I have identified a family needs help. I'm willing to drive over and do this. I'm willing to help with that. I just need this and this and this, and I'll take care of it. It's like, great, man, let me, resources. Anybody else want to join them? Go, right? And we can knock out lots more. I mean, right? Okay. I mean, it's going to be redonkulous what God can do through us as we're open to that. And now we're praying, God, bless us even more as we've been faithful in the little. Make us faithful with the much. Right? Why? Because God needs to show himself to the many. And the many needs to see a God who's just so giving and generous and kind, and like he just knows no end to his pursuit of them, right? Right? Yeah. It's our mission field, our backyard right here. Yeah. I got a lot more to go, but I need to just like cut it out and see where I'm going to end it here. Okay, I'll end with this one, and then we'll go into our prayer time. But John 14, Jesus was speaking, and he said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." So we have this Helper, this teacher inside of us, right? And the Holy Spirit, he wants what the Father wants, right? And we don't always know, God, how am I supposed to like pull off your will, and how am I supposed to be a light, and how am I supposed to be kind and generous in this world, and how am I supposed to be a problem solver? And we have a helper. Like, the Lord didn't just like send us off. He like put the Holy Spirit in us, and the Holy Spirit wants it more than you want it, more than I want it, right? Right? And he's like, he will teach you all things, and he'll bring to your remembrance all that I've said. So like even scriptures or promises will just pop into your mind in the moment you need them, because that's who he is, because he wants it more than you do. And this is the biggest part. Jesus said, "But peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. So let not your hearts not be troubled. Neither let them be afraid." The Lord wants to identify himself with an expression of favor over the Christian community, where we have a level of peace that the world doesn't understand. And once again, by saying you get to be the beneficiary, you do. You get to be the beneficiary. But guess what? Peaceful people tend to attract chaos. Right? Blessed are the peacemakers, because another shovelful's coming. I'm not trying to be discouraging, but the fact is, when you're a peaceful person, a lot of people are attracted to that because they're so used to chaos. Their normal is chaos.
And they're desperate.
They are, and they don't even know it. In some ways, I think they think they're doing the peaceful person a favor by bringing chaos, which is a little dose of reality. Right? And then they, you know, you'll get the bad reputation because, well, if they can't upset you, then they're just going to have to accuse you, right? Wreck your whole world. And then you don't care about that. You're fine. Eventually, when someone's dying or someone is sick or their world is falling apart, then they'll call you, right? But it's because of the reputation for God's peace that he rests on your life. And we were called to that. We're not perfect. It's not a peace that we exercise perfectly in every way, but it's a peace that we once again are crying out for. God, I'm asking you to give the Holy Spirit's inner peace in my life and let that inner peace become a blessing that begins to flow out and help and touch people who are in chaos. And you're like, but I don't want the drama. Too bad. Right? It's our job. When Jesus said go, he didn't say go to all the normal, peaceful people.
That's right?
Right? He hung on a cross where people were screaming accusations and lying and saying things, and, right? That's the people he was crying out for. God, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I love them, right? And so that's what we're called into, this peace, right? So when the chaos hits your life and you're like, God, how are you going to show peace here? You should also be adding, and Lord, how will you use that peace to somehow come out and affect other people? What were you going to say, Greta?
All right, so I was just going to add about the peace is, like, sometimes we can be intimidated by the chaos because we think somehow it's going to be internalized in us. Like, we have to internalize it, but the gift from God is truly, like, internal peace from his Holy Spirit, so that when we're in chaos, we're still peace in the midst of it. So it's a gift from him to experience that peace and to be around chaos but not be shaken, not be moved, you know? And so it's, I think he delights to give that as a gift. And I know, like, I've struggled with anxiety in the past, and the Lord's, like, setting me free from it. And I'm like, whoa. I used to be anxious about really silly things and not know how to curb it. And then through prayer, through kind of kicking some agreements out with lies, I'm like, whoa, that's a real gift from God to experience peace where I would normally experience unrest or, you know, and I just realize it is so tangible that we don't have to be afraid of going into chaos and thinking, oh, that's going to be too much for me. I'll be overwhelmed. It's like, no. Right. Like, Holy Spirit gives us that kind of peace so we can be in the midst of it. And experience overwhelming peace.
Amen. And he partners us. He partners us with people so we're not, like, stuck trying, wondering what it looks like. You know, like in my case, I was the more anxious of between Rach and I. And sometimes just the fact that she could just be, that's not the way it is. It's actually like this. Like, it could teach me, train me not to be so anxious, right? So you're right. The Holy Spirit is doing the training, and he sometimes locks us in relationship with people in his body specifically to pull out that stuff and show us peace. Good.
As the river in you flows out, bad things are having to fight to get upstream. Mm-hmm. And the stronger the current out, the less is internaling into you.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does. It does. Yeah. And it's so important that we are flowing out, you know, in
it.
Right, as long as we're talking about pools, right? The seas that have nothing but input and no output, those are the ones that go stagnant and are dead. So, yes. Yeah. Amen. Ah.
Yeah. Sometimes people feel like they don't have the money or the resources or anything else, but even when you just, like, say hi to people or just be a reflection of what God's gave you, if you can reflect that onto other people, that helps out in that context too. Mm-hmm. Because, like, some people don't have the time, or they feel, I don't have the time or the money to do things. But you can still be a reflection in, like, how you treat other people, right, and everything, mm-hmm, of God's love and Right. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, no, it's great. And it's awesome, man. And being faithful, and who are we to say that that's less valuable?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. More valuable, yeah. Amen. I'm all for it. Yeah.
Just reflect quickly. So Daryl said, be in the community, reach out. Talk to the folks who were at Community Connections, because over the 6 weeks, we saw about close to 1,000 people, some of them repeatedly to talk with them. So that is our mission field. But we had open opportunity to talk with people. That's the commission.
Yeah. That's awesome. If we could look at that last prayer slide, I think this is where we're gonna land it. Things to be praying about, and I didn't write this in sentence form, so you're gonna actually have to do a little bit more work than normal. But we need to be praying for God's favor to bring life to the dry places, right? If God is saying some of us, is that me? If God is saying some of us are called to be, to rebuild deserted cities and dry places, right? That means we need to be, God bring life to the dry places. If you pour into me, I can pour into those around me who are also dry, right? For some of us, we need to be praying for honor under accusation. I skipped that piece, but you know what? I think you guys know enough of what that looks like. To display honor while you're being accused so that the reflection of God's purity is not on the defense, right? Jesus was under that kind of pressure all the time, and he never folded. He just continued to love. He continued to be Jesus, right? So if that's you, and if that just like stung you in the heart, then why don't we begin to pray that out loud on behalf of someone else, right? So that we can all collectively join in on that story. Some of us need to be praying for promotion, bigger, impactful positions on purpose so that we can be a bigger light and a bigger blessing. Yes? Breaking the bondage of slavery to fear. That's another point that I skipped, but it kind of goes well with the peace discussion, that if we're no longer held bound under fear, then we can be a blessing and help liberate other people who are not being bound under fear. Amen. Right? And then overpowering your attackers. Some of us are just under spiritual warfare. You just feel like you're just on a treadmill of battling and you just can't get out of your own way. We need to get you free so that you can be a blessing. We also want you to be a blessing while you're in the battle so that you're never defined by your enemy's attacks. Right? It's both. It's a yes and kind of a prayer. Yeah? Does anybody here feel, you know, inspired to kick us off, and then maybe one person can just pray through one bullet as led by the Spirit? We're one big family, right? Would you be willing, Chris?
Sure.
Yeah, you're awesome. Love having you here.
Father God, we thank you for your grace in our life. God, we thank you for bringing life in the dry places. God, I think of the psalm where you lead us by still waters. And if you look at Israel, Lord, there are places that you bring us to in our life where it's dry all around, but you lead us to that moment of water in life. God, help us to have the mindset that you can be gracious to us in our struggles. Your light can shine on us during our struggles, and that brings more glory to you, because truly, as Daryl taught us, Lord, it's about others seeing what we have and they need it. So, Lord, let just your river of life flow through us to others. In your name we pray.
Yeah. Thank you, God.
Lord, our prayer is that in this word promotion, we understand it according to your definition. That means you have a call on each one of these brothers and sisters. that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see the work that you have for each one. For Lord, we know that you have given us assignments. You have given us commands in your precious word. You've repeated them, that we take it to heart. We know in your word, it says, if you have an ear, let him hear. So Lord, we pray that our ears would be open as you are speaking to us about the promotion to what you would have us to do in building the kingdom of God. For you have called us, Lord, not just for our own comfort and for our peace and enjoyment, but you've called us to be servants, to be loving to those that have need, those who are lost, those who have no hope. So, Lord, I pray for each one here that we would be hope to the lost, that we would be love to the unloved, and that our lives would be given over to you that we may bless others. And this we pray in Jesus' name.
We just thank you for your voice, Holy Spirit, throughout this body and throughout this time. Lord, you've just collectively built this story of your heart for blessing and promotion, but really to shine through us. And so, God, as we end today, we do ask, God, bless us and keep us and cause your face to shine upon us and give us peace, so that the world may see and understand and know your ways, O God. Let the nations understand your ways, because you've been good. And they can see by example. They can taste and see that the Lord is good. So, God, we have our hands open, but we also have our feet moving. And I pray, God, you'd never allow us to become satisfied with just being stagnant and asking for help. But, Lord, we do want your help. But Lord, we also want to be impactful in every area of our life. Lord, reshape our prayers. Oh God, I pray that, Lord, as we're asking, you'll just continue to bombard our prayers with kingdom thinking, so that God, everything we're doing is in concert with your heart and your will. Lord, we just want to reflect the prayers and the outcry of Jesus in our life. And so, Lord, any part of us that is selfish, I just ask that you'll continue to prune that away so that we can bear more fruit. And then, Lord, for the rest of us that we're just ashamed, or we don't have a strong enough identity, or we've been accused, we don't think we deserve praying for that kind of a blessing in our life, Lord, show us how to shut that stuff out and to really pray bold and big prayers to a bold and a big God. Lord, not selling you short on just because our identity is in crisis, Father. Lord, I ask for a body of believers who are so incredibly blessed, Lord, and so incredibly effective at blessing others. Thank you that you will make this as natural as breathing, breathing in, breathing out the goodness of God. And I bless everyone here, Father. I just thank you for the impacts they've made. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 Hey, Greta, would you give us a quick update on your brother? Just because last week we ended the service with your concern.
I actually was feeling that, so thank you for the invitation. So thank you all for praying. My brother Todd, for those of you who may not know, he had an accident. He was on the back of his boat, and he jumped off, and it was in 2 feet of water, and he fractured some vertebrae and ribs and punctured his lung. He was med-flighted to Lebanon. We had no idea what to expect. We've been praying fervently. You guys prayed. I've been overwhelmed by support from the body, and it's been amazing. He was in the hospital, and they were able to do x-rays and determine that he didn't need surgery. So that was like prayer number one praise report, because as I shared, my brother is self-employed. He has 8 children at home. There's an uncertainty in his future as far as the natural climate of things. So surgery would obviously, it's great that he didn't have to have surgery, right? Because that's a whole nother healing process. So when we heard that, we praised God. We're like, yes, okay. So then a few days into his hospital stay, he was able to get a brace that supports his neck and his thoracic spine, because that's the weight of his head would put too much pressure on that part of his vertebrae. So he's being held upright here through a brace, and he was able to get up and walk and remain stable. So that's another praise report. He sent a video on Facebook for us to get to see, and I wept at the goodness of God. And there have been so many people who have prayed warring prayers. I shared with you that he's been under a lot of spiritual warfare, very tormented, at the same time as the Lord's been really wooing him back. He's a believer. And one of the other praise reports is how encouraged he was the entire time in the hospital. They had been listening to the audio Bible, praying, warring in the spirit, and testifying. My brother told me yesterday when we were visiting with him that he was actually sharing the gospel with his roommate in the hospital, who had just had his stomach removed from stomach cancer. Mm-hmm. He also testified to my oldest brother, who is continuing to kind of question God, and he just said, you know, I want you to really think about it, because today if I didn't survive that boating accident, you know, you have a car ride home. You know, and he just, in love, he expressed the goodness of God. He said, I was given another chance, and I want you to have the same opportunity. And there was just such boldness. I'm like, I have not seen that in my brother in years. And he got saved just before I did. He was actually significant in the role of us, myself getting saved. So anyhow, the other praise report is that he was actually discharged to home, which was on, yeah, come on, it's so good. And I'll wrap that up, but Friday night he was able to go home, and he'll have home services because he's able to walk the distance he needed to. He's able to climb stairs. He's able to get himself in and out of bed with assistance. Everything's with assistance, so God bless my sister-in-law. She's even helping him with drinks, right, a long straw. It's not pretty right now. He needs a lot of help, like around the clock, to get out of bed, to just take care of himself, go to the bathroom. He needs to put his brace on every time he gets out of bed. So there's a process of healing ahead of him. And I would just say it's a miracle that he's alive. It's a miracle that he's standing and walking. It's a miracle that he's at his home. He's able to see his family, all of his kids. So thank you for praying. But he's not in the clear yet. We believe that, like, God can expedite his healing. God can provide for every need that they have as a large family with a lot of expenses. I know that they're in a good place right now as far as believing God, but the road ahead of them is still uncertain. We don't know when he'll be able to work again, you know, all those things. But we know God knows. We know he's caring for them, and he's been amazingly gracious toward our family so far. So thank you for praying.
Yeah.
Thank you for the support. Just one more awesome testimony from this body of believers. Last Sunday after I shared, several people came up to me, but two specific situations came up. Someone gave me money to give to them, which was a huge encouragement to them. And then someone else went shopping at Costco and gave me a whole trunk full of groceries to bring up to them. And so yesterday I actually was able to bring them because they were home. And my sister-in-law, I was helping her unload them, and she was just overwhelmed by the love of God. She said, I am journaling all of this because this is so overwhelming. So
awesome.
Practically they were taken care of. Spiritually they felt the love of God. So thank you, church, for your prayers and for the practical ways that you've loved on my family in this.
That's so cool. Awesome. Thank you. Thanks for sharing. Yeah. Love it. I love it. I love it.